Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Thursday, the church celebrated the Ascension of our Lord. It occurs every year on a Thursday, exactly 40 days after Easter. And it is recorded in Acts chapter 1. So the Word of God for our consideration on this Sunday after the Ascension is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I will read in particular verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." In the name of Jesus, our ascended Lord, dear friends, for 40 days after his resurrection, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ showed himself to be alive by many, many convincing proofs. On one occasion, Paul says he was seen by as many as 500 of the brethren. And then on the 40th day, he removed his visible presence. This morning, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, let us consider understanding our Lord's ascension. Understanding our Lord's ascension. I've divided this up into four points. First, his ascension means that our salvation is complete. If you think back to February, during Lent, we saw our suffering Savior, the one who took upon himself your guilt and my guilt, your sins and my sins. He did that in order that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. On Easter then, which was April 16th, we rejoiced in his triumph over death. His work on earth was finished. Our salvation is complete. This is brought home in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 12. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. My friends, do you ever wonder about your salvation? Do you ever wonder whether it is really true that God no longer charges your sins against you? Perhaps you think, surely there must be something that I still need to do in order to cover all my sins, especially those sins in my past which still have a way of tormenting me. But on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. It's finished. Our salvation is complete. Christ died for our sins and rose again, and there's nothing more for us to do. Nothing more for us to do except to repent of our sins and lay them at the foot of the cross, trusting that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all of our sins. Our salvation is complete." Second, our Lord's ascension means that although his work on earth is finished, our work goes on. Before he ascended, Jesus said to the disciples, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This challenge was not directed only at the original 12 disciples, and there were 12 now again because we heard a little while ago there was an election to replace Judas. So this was not directed simply at the 12. This challenge includes you and me. We are to be his witnesses. Now, I realize that not every Christian can do that. I realize that not every Christian has what I might call the spiritual gift to proclaim the gospel to strangers, or even to friends or family, as a matter of fact. Not everybody can do that. But every Christian is a witness. Whether you like it or not, every Christian is a witness. If we are alive, we are witnessing. And we're either giving a positive witness or we're giving a negative witness by the very way we act and by the very way we talk. Some years ago when I was preparing for a confirmation class, I came across a little story in some of the books I was using. Two boys were riding home on their bikes one Saturday morning after their confirmation instruction. And Matthew started to sing the hymn they had learned in class earlier that day. Well, as they approached the street on which they live, his friend Mark said, "Shh, stop that singing. Be quiet." "What's the matter?" asked Matthew. "Are you ashamed of Jesus?" "Of course not," replied Mark. "But do you have to let my whole neighborhood know that we are Christians?" You see, Mark was worried about something. He was worried that some of his so-called friends might make fun of him. But it's interesting what Peter said in that first lesson that Mr. Neiman read before, 1 Peter chapter 4. It says there, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed." You're blessed. And so, teenagers, young adults, what kind of witness are you giving? Are you like Mark, ashamed of letting others know that you are a Christian? Adults, what kind of witness are you and I giving? You know, sometimes we give a negative witness. People notice that. People around us, sometimes they see hatred instead of love. And they see vengeance instead of forgiveness. And they see worry instead of trust. And they see greed instead of thanksgiving and charity and so on. My friends, when the opportunity presents itself to you, take a moment to pray that the Holy Spirit will enable you in that moment to tell others. You don't have to beat them over the head now. Just pray that the Holy Spirit will enable you to tell others what Jesus Christ means to you. To share your joy and peace with others. Your joy and peace in knowing that you have a Savior who loves you and has forgiven your sins. And then the third point, even though Jesus has removed his visible presence, he is still very much involved in our lives. Now I have discovered, as I am sure you have also, that it's much easier to believe the promises of God when things are really going well. But they don't always go well, do they? And as we face the burdens of life, those difficult days, those lonely days, when we're faced with a bereavement, an illness that goes on and on, some great disappointment, maybe it's just utter confusion about all the things going on. Could even be depression. On those days, we might ask, "Where are you, Jesus? Why did you ascend to heaven? Why didn't you stay on earth where I can see you? Why didn't you stay on earth? That's where the problems are. That's where my problems are. And Jesus, why is it when I pray, I'm often greeted by silence?" And Jesus answers, "I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Furthermore, he directs us to where he can be seen. And that ties in with the object lesson that Carol gave. Jesus directs us to where he can be seen. The sacred scriptures, which record his love for those who came to him in their time of trial. He points in the scriptures to the cross, where he demonstrated that love for you and me by suffering and dying in our stead. And then there's that. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. As Lutherans, we believe that he is visible there also. He is present as he gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink in this Holy Supper. In other words, despite the troubles in the world, despite the burdens in your life and mine, and despite the fact that Christian beliefs and values are under attack today, Jesus is still running the show. He is still King of Kings. He has the whole world in his hands. He has you and me in his hands. He gives us the strength to endure as we await the fulfillment of his purposes. He comforts us, and in his time, and according to his will, he acts on our behalf. And so the point here is that the ascended Jesus is not simply present in my memory. I remember Grandpa Hansel on my mother's side. Yeah, I've got kind of a memory of him. It's not that. It's not that we just that Jesus is just present in our memory. He is personally present with us today wherever we are. And he promises to bring us through the worst of times. As Peter put it in that lesson, which was read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that brings us to the fourth point, the final point. Our Lord's ascension reminds us that he is coming again. Now the disciples were pretty disappointed in Jesus on that day, the fact that he was going to leave. Why were they disappointed? Because they always believed that he came to this earth to establish an earthly kingdom with himself as the king, and he would set everything right in this world. Now he's leaving? But you know, that wasn't to be that he would establish a kingdom here. What he came to do was to establish God's kingdom in our hearts, God's rule in our hearts. And then he ascended to establish the heavenly kingdom. And he will come again. Sometimes families, you know, will say goodbye to a son or daughter, maybe leaving on a military assignment. And there's always the thought in their minds, we may never see them again. Memorial Day reminds us of that, you know. There are many times they did not see them again. How tragic. But we will see Jesus. When he is ready, God will send his son a second time. The angels who were standing around that day, they said, this same Jesus will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And on that day, he will come as judge. Kind of scary. He will call to account all who did evil. What about us? What about us who have put our trust in Christ as our Savior? Well, even though we also are sinners and deserve damnation, we're going to stand before him as forforgiven sinners, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Romans 8 reminds us that the ascended Jesus at this very moment is at the right hand of God interceding for us. And on that day will be fulfilled the promise of Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I direct your attention to that orange-colored banner. We're told that on the day of our Lord's ascension, that the disciples were looking up. They were gazing at the ever-fading Jesus, looking up. I encourage all of you to do that. When things are going well in your life, and they often do, then look up and give thanks. And when things are not going well, as often happens, then look up and be assured that Jesus loves you and that he is with you always. Always. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.